He will manifest himself in your body. I've pastored people for years who would come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't know why this was happening to me, but I was crying through the whole service. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. He is moving upon your body, and you feel this emotion, and the only way you can express that emotion is through tears. Other people will say, Pastor, I lifted my hand to worship, and it started to tremble. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in your body. It's not to frighten you. It is to let you know he's there, because God wants you to know he is real. Someone say amen to that. God wants you to know he is real. And these pastors, many of them are beaten down by poverty. Many of them are beaten down by their caste system, because Christians are relegated to the lowest caste in Indian society. So they are considered the untouchables, the cast-offs. And when a couple or a family become Christians in India, they are ostracized by their neighbors. Many of their neighbors will threaten them and tell them if they worship God openly or worship Jesus openly, that they will force them out of their village. Some of the pastors have been beaten with sticks by radical Hindus. So there is oppression there, let alone spiritual oppression. India is a tremendously spiritual place, but not simply of the Spirit of God. There is an opportunity in India at this time for the gospel, although that door seems to be closing. They're restricting external evangelists from coming in and holding festivals where the gospel is preached. They will allow Indian evangelists to do that, but they will not allow non-Indian evangelists to do that. And so the door is closing to outside ministers. And I think the reason that I have not been stopped from going to India as of yet is because I'm not trying to proselytize new believers. What I'm doing is bringing revival to the pastors, and then they get filled with the Spirit. They go back to their churches, and their congregations are being stirred by the Holy Ghost. And we know what happens when the Holy Spirit begins to act in people's lives. You can't remain the same. And then there are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives for the benefit of the church. And we experience some of that today. We experience the gift of a word of prophecy. And so it was given to the church to encourage you that God is with you. He's available for your every need. He knows your heavy burdens. He knows your light burdens. And he knows that we are prone to worry. And he has taught people through his scripture for millennia, do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot do anything to the soul. Rather, fear the one who, after having killed the body, can cast the soul into eternal flames, and so on. So we're taught not to fear men, not to fear the stressful situations in our lives. And Jesus told us, he said, you in this world, you will suffer tribulation. But then he said, but cheer up. Isn't that what he said? He said, cheer up. Because I've overcome this world. Now, someone might say, well, Lord, that's you. What about me? Guess what? When the Spirit of God lives in your heart, Jesus is there. The one who overcame this world is in you, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And his strength, his wisdom, his abilities are in you. You need to believe that. You need to believe that God wants you to succeed, and he is in you to help you make it to that final day when you will stand before the Lord, and you will stand there with great joy and with peace and with confidence, because the Lord helped you make it there. The Bible says in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So anyway, these are the kinds of things that I teach pastors. And you might think, well, pastors know these things. Well, don't you also know these things? We all know these things. But knowing these things and believing these things are two different things. Because when we go through hardship, stress, trial, difficulty, our faith is challenged, and we need to be encouraged that God's word is true, that he hasn't forgotten us, that he's not mad at us just because we're going through a trial, and that his power can do more than you and I can realize. I was reading about Abraham and Sarah just a day or so ago, and one of the portions of that story that I always find a little bit entertaining is where the Lord and two angels stop by Abraham's tent, and they say, oh, by the way, I'll come back to you this time next year, and Sarah will have a baby. And at that time, I think Sarah was about 88 years old. How many of you 88-year-old women want a baby? We all get that. And the version I was reading, Pastor, was the New English Translation, and they have notes in there. And the way that they have interpreted, and they add a little parenthetical statement after Sarah was laughing to herself. The parenthetical statement says, Sarah knew she had already gone through menopause. So she knew, ain't no baby coming out of this body. And she laughed. And the Lord says, why did Sarah laugh? Folks, some of you are looking at your situation, which is as real to you as Sarah's situation was to her. Nature says there's no chance. Your bank account says there's no chance. Those who counsel you say there's no chance. But God has put a promise in your heart that you can't shake. And you say, how in the world can this happen? I'll tell you how. Because the Lord said to Sarah, or to Abraham, he said, shall anything be impossible with God? As if Sarah was being ridiculous to laugh. Even Abraham laughed when he put his face to the ground, because he said, shall a 99-year-old man enjoy this kind of a pleasure? I've never had a son of my own from my wife, my first wife. He says, shall I have that pleasure now? But he had already had Ishmael through Hagar. And so he said to the Lord, how about if you just bless Ishmael so that he can be the one through which your promise works? And God said, no. He said, you will have a child, and it will come through Sarah. And by the way, at that time, Abraham's name was Abram, and God changed his name. At 99 years old, never had a child, God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Okay, folks, what is God calling you to do that appears impossible? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, when it was giving praise to Abram for his faith, the Bible says that Abram wasn't going forward in blind faith. He looked at his body, and he saw that it was as good as dead for providing a child or fathering a child. But the Bible says God was pleased with him, because after looking at his body and then looking at God's promise, he decided to believe God's promise. Somebody say amen. So when I was pastoring in the year 2006, and the Lord saw to it I got to India, and then told me that I was going to be doing ministry like the evangelist that I went with, I just came back and decided to go with that. So I started a nonprofit, which was the first miracle. My sister-in-law was instrumental in helping many organizations start a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. She said to me, Brad, the IRS is backed up in approving 501c3 entities, and you probably won't see approval for your corporation for 18 months. Well, I already had people starting to donate money to me, and I wanted to give them the tax advantage. And so I was talking to an evangelist friend of mine, and he said, okay, Brad, we're going to pray that God approves this thing in 3 months. Guess what? It was approved in 3 months. Well, then I didn't have any money, and I said, God, I can't go to India because it costs about $2,000 to fly there. And once I get there, I've got to have money to do ministry. And frankly, Lord, I don't have that kind of money. And so the Lord mentioned to me that maybe I should talk to some of the Christian businessmen in my church. And so I went and I told them what God had put on my heart. And the first one I talked to sat down and wrote me out a check for $9,000. Well, then I went and talked to another one. He sat down and wrote me out a check for $5,000. And then I sat back in my chair and I said, I think God must be in this thing. And since that day, brothers and sisters, I have gone to India. The only year I stayed home was a year that God told me to stay home. And our team in India was distraught with me saying, Pastor, why aren't you coming? I said, well, God has told me not to come this year. And that was the year that my wife broke her wrist real badly in an accident. And so I kind of assumed that was the reason God wanted me there. But every year I've gone, and now I've started going twice a year. And some people say, well, you only go twice a year. Well, yeah, every time I go, it costs me about $20,000. And so raising that kind of money is not easy. So anyway, but God has provided for me, and I have not missed a trip because of money. And yet I started off not having it. And God said, go. And I said, okay. And He's provided. Now, we're going to end this thing in about 9 minutes, 9-10 minutes or so. And so actually I may go to that in just a moment here, just because I've seen the Lord work in a matter of 5 minutes in churches and just turn people's hearts and thinking around. But I just sense that this needs to be poured into you before I share these words, because a lot of what the Lord uses me and my ministry for is to stir up people's faith. Frankly, Pastor, when we came to the point in the service where there was a pause and it was quiet, my first thought was, they're providing opportunity for the Holy Spirit. Do you know how rare that is in churches nowadays? That doesn't happen. I've gone to many churches. In fact, our church used to, when I was pastoring, we used to do that. We would always give the Holy Spirit an opportunity. But that's not the way church goes now. In fact, there was a ministers and wives retreat up in Alexandria for the Minnesota district. And there was a pastor of a very large church there who was sharing with the people. I wasn't there, but my aunt and uncle went there and they told me about it. And they said that this pastor, who is like so many churches in the Assemblies of God and in other denominations, they've gotten big and they've basically scheduled every moment so that they are on a strict schedule and they've got to go from one step to the next until they get done so they can bring the next group in. And the Lord spoke to him and said, when are you going to give me a chance to do something in the service? To this man's credit, he humbled himself and he told his staff, he said, we're going to give God a chance to do what He wants to do in the service. His staff freaked out. But God did something undeniable in that church. And folks, that is my passion, is to say to the Christians, the people of God, that God is real, The Holy Spirit is God's gift to you. He is taking Jesus' role in the life of the disciples because Jesus has ascended to sit enthroned next to the Father. And so Jesus asked the Father for another advocate for us, and the Father granted his request. And this was prophesied by Joel back in chapter 2 and verses 28 and 29. Joel predicted it years and years ago. And so Jesus fulfilled that prediction by asking the Father for this promise that he could pour out on the church, and the Lord gave it to him. You can find this in John chapter 14. And so Jesus received that, and he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. They waited in an upper room, and Jesus poured it out on the day of Pentecost, and that was such an event that thousands of very pious people in the city came because of the sound. I want to point something out here, folks. These Jews that came at the sound of the mighty rushing wind were very God-fearing and pious, but they were not born of the Spirit. Just because your family member or someone in your family line is pious and God-fearing, and maybe they've even gone through some church or religious ritual for years, does not mean they have been born of the Spirit. Jesus said the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it and you see the results of it. He says that's how it is when people are born of the Spirit. You don't know how it happens, but something changes. So look with me quickly in the final minutes of our time together at Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Peter had gotten up after all these pious Jews had gathered at the bottom on the street listening to the ruckus in the upper room, and they recognized that their own languages were being spoken by people who were from Galilee, and they were wondering how that could happen. And of course, some of them do what a lot of us do when we don't understand the working of the Spirit. We make fun of it because we don't understand. And so they said, these guys are drunk. Well, they were drunk, but not with wine. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And because they were yielded to the Holy Ghost, they were speaking out the utterance that the Holy Spirit was giving them. And it was other languages. They didn't even know it. And they were praising God in the languages of all these pious Jews on the street. And so Peter got up under the power of the Holy Spirit, and this same man that had denied Jesus three times, 50 days before, stood up and because of the power of the Holy Spirit prophesied, because prophecy is not just predicting, prophecy is also forth-telling. And so he prophesied for a good long while, and these Jews were cut to the heart to such an extent, they said, brothers, what should we do? Here's what Peter said. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Folks, when a person comes to Jesus and is genuinely born of the Spirit, the Bible says they're a new creature. The old things have become brand new. Their appetites are different. Their desires are different. We had a couple that used to drive by our church in Boscobel. They told me this after they had come to Christ, and they said, Pastor, we used to drive by the church and laugh at you guys and make fun of you for how many times the church people were at the church. And then she came to Jesus and was born again, and she said, Pastor, you know what the only problem with our church is? I looked at her and said, what? She says, because we're not here more often. So this woman went from being someone who mocked people for going to church more than once Christmas or Easter, to wanting to be there much more often. A pastor cannot force that in a person. That is something born of the Holy Spirit. Our desires change. We hunger for God's word. We must turn our lives over to Jesus. We must recognize that Jesus came because we are sentenced to death without him. If we don't receive Jesus as our Savior, we, dare I say it, Pastor? We're going to hell. You don't talk about that in church anymore. We use euphemisms. We use different words. We talk about mistakes, and I've heard them. And I'm not angry at these pastors, because I know it's how they've been taught. It's what culture has forced on us. And we're being taught that we're narrow-minded. We're being taught that we're bigots. We're being taught that we're hatred, or that we have hatred, simply because we call sin what the Bible calls sin. And simply because we teach our people that if Jesus hadn't come to die for us, all of us would be going to an eternal hell. But Jesus came. Jesus died, and so when we are baptized into his name, now I'm not saying be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Jesus told us to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I am talking about when we come to Jesus and put our faith in him, that he gives us new birth, he changes us, and our sins are forgiven, and we are made brand new, and then we receive the Holy Spirit. And I shouldn't put it that way, because it can become confusing for people. The truth of the matter is, I teach a lot of non-Pentecostal pastors, and I'm so excited about it, Pastor, because Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans are sitting in the congregation when I'm teaching, and they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. These Baptist pastors, I say, guys, we have been made to drink of the same Spirit. And I said, the promise from Joel says that I will perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. I said, is that promise for us? Because the next verse here in 39 says, Peter said, for the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Well, folks, as long as Jesus is calling people to himself for salvation, then this promise is for every one of us. And that is the promised Holy Spirit. And that promise is also surrounded by these words when Joel said, I will perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath. And so I looked at these Baptist and Lutheran and Methodist pastors and I said, why, brothers, do you wrestle with the idea of God manifesting miracles and signs through his people when the Bible says this is our promise, and it's for every one of us as long as God is calling people to salvation? And so I had one young pastor come up to me after the service, and he looked at me, he says, that was powerful. You know why it was powerful? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit in me made the words powerful to grip his heart, just as Peter's words were made powerful by the Holy Spirit and cut these brothers to the heart, and they said, what should we do? So you might be out there saying, whoa, 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 what do I do? Well, first of all, have you been born again? You said, well, I went to Sunday school. I've been part of this church for years. That's not what I said. Have you been born of the Spirit? See, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You say, well, how do I get born of the Spirit? You put your faith in Jesus. You say, well, I thought I did that. Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? Well, I think so. The Bible says that no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you can say with peace and clarity in your heart that Jesus is Lord, I think that's a good sign that you're born of the Spirit. And if you're born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And if the Spirit of Jesus is inside of you, the Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead Let me say it again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We're not talking about healing a sniffle. We're not talking about taking away a simple ache in our knees or our elbows. We're not talking about a headache going away, even though those are wonderful acts of God's grace. We're talking about raising a physically dead person to life again. The Holy Spirit did that, and He lives in you. So if He lives in you, why do you feel that what God is telling you is impossible? See, this is what God does with me, Pastor. He sends me out there to challenge not only myself, but these pastors. And in India, they're taught, they have a glass ceiling. They're taught, this is as high as I can come. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't recognize glass ceilings. And so these pastors are realizing that in Christ, they can do whatever God tells them to do. And so one pastor said, I've been thinking for years that I need to start another church in this one area of our city, but it's such a high buck place that I never thought we could afford to start a church there. He said, but I believe God, and we're going to start that church. Peter goes to the gate, beautiful. He and John sees a beggar asking for alms, but he's lame. I have no idea what went through Peter's mind. Sometimes I don't think it's good for us to worry about what's in our mind. I think we need to act in faith. And so Peter said, I don't have any money. Can anyone associate with that? I don't have any money. I don't have any money, but I'm going to give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you notice, Pastor, that Jesus said these signs shall follow those who believe? He never said these signs will precede those who believe. He said these signs will follow. When's the last time you've taken a bold step of faith? You've got all the power of heaven behind you, but God's waiting for you to act as a person of faith. Because the signs follow. They don't proceed. There's nothing wrong with using our wisdom, multitude of counselors, and things that God has blessed us with, a sound mind, to plan. But brothers and sisters, signs follow faith. Have you expressed faith in your situation? You say, I've done everything I know to do. Well, the Bible says, then you stand fast in faith. God's not done yet. I said, God's not done yet. I said, God's not done yet. God is never done. I guess until the Sabbath, he decided he was done then. But that was for us. So that we would have a day to rest. But other than that, God isn't done. Even Jesus said, I'm working and my Father's working. When the Pharisees tried to get after him for working on the Sabbath because he was doing something as shameful as picking grain from the field. He said, I'm working and my Father is working. Folks, God is not done in your life yet. God is not done in your life yet. God is not done in your life yet. If he can take Caleb at 80 years old and send him up to take that mountain, why can't he take you at your age to conquer something he has put in your heart? He can do it. You just need to believe him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I ask that these words that you have stirred in my heart and in the hearts of your people would find fruition, in that they would not give up, because they realize that with you, all things are possible. And to give up and say it can't be done without talking to you and asking you is like saying God can't do it. And that's a lie. We won't believe the lie. Rather, we believe the truth that all God's promises in Jesus Christ are yes. And we speak the amen to the glory of God. And so I pray for your people. I pray for Pastor and his ministry here, that you would empower him. Thank you for the worship that takes place in this church. And I ask you to empower the leaders. Heal every sickness, Lord, in this church. I ask it. Heal every sickness, every disease. Cast out all unclean spirits. And set your people free. However that may manifest itself. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in India and other places of the world where your Spirit is still acting in power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.